In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Good morning. Feel free to be seated, relax. As I was sitting up here earlier looking out, I'm thinking it kind of looks like an 8 o'clock service when everybody's mad at each other. We were keeping our distance, and as strange as it is, it's beginning to seem a little normal, isn't it? Yeah, interesting thing is, I was looking at the readings this week, I decided, well, let's look at what Paul has to say and see if we can figure that out a little bit. Plus, it kind of gives me a little bit of a head start on our weekly Bible study because we're almost here. And I was thinking, there's this strange thing that happens when you become a priest. Everyone thinks you have always been a priest. You just didn't have the clothes on. So people who really know me and have known me for a long time know better. But people, yeah, thank you. You don't have to raise your hand if you know. The people who have only met me since I've been a priest think that I've always been a priest. And people who really know me as a priest know, wow, how did he become a priest? But the concept is this: the world thinks that I know something they don't. And the world thinks that I have these behaviors that are holy all the time. And I would love to tell you that that is absolutely true. But it's not. I struggle like everyone else struggles. For whatever reason, and I just assume that it's because God thinks he's funny, he's called me to this role. And the church agreed with him, so here I am. But Paul talks about this struggle that all of us have. And he says we shouldn't have it, but even Paul himself had it. I do the things I don't want to do, he says in another letter. He goes, verse 15, What then should we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? And then he adds this little piece in verse 17 that should give us some assurance, which I believe was his point. But thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves to sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. And you, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. And in this day and age, we hear that terminology, master, slave, obedient, and we get a little nervous, don't we? And we probably should. It carries a slightly different meaning for us these days, and it probably should. But I want you to hear it as, I don't have a choice but to do this thing. And the obedience to God is when we choose to follow God, even when everything within us is saying, do this instead. We, in obedience, will say, no, I choose to do what God has called me to do. That sounds simple, doesn't it? Until we realize just how the world entices. There was a time in my life where my primary focus was to chase after what the world had to offer. You name it, I chased after it. And I have to tell you something. Not once did I stop and say, that's sinful, Brian, you shouldn't do that. Not one time. Because I was in no way, shape, or form curious about being obedient to God. So you know what sin meant to me? Nothing. It meant nothing to me. I could do whatever I wanted to do. What I discovered is that chasing after the world, letting the world be my master and my guide as to what I would do next, my life was empty. It had no depth to it. It didn't have the meaning that I knew in my heart should exist. And the thing about chasing after the world and what the world can provide is if you choose the world as your master, that master is never satisfied. Ever. You chase after this or you gain that, and the next thing is just right in front of you. We got to get the next thing. We got to get the next thing. And that next thing, which is going to make you feel happy and bring everything you want into your world, guess what? When you get it, still empty. Because that's not what our hearts are designed for. Our hearts are designed to be obedient to God, who is leading us to a life that is full. A full life that offers us all the ups and the downs, the joy, the happiness, the pain, the sorrow, the relationship with Him and the relationship with one another. That's the life we are called to. And when we chase after things that are shallow and things that are of this world and things that are sinful, we find ourselves empty. So the church going out to the world and saying, you're sinful, the world's saying, that's what you think. I don't think so. What the world is lost, and many of us in the world are lost, and the church can come to the world, as Paul did as a missionary, and say, here is a different way that might bring a meaning to your life that you have not yet experienced. And that gets kind of difficult. And so when he talks about this, choosing to be obedient to God, he goes on and on about it. Shockingly, Paul going on and on, what are the chances? But he gets to the exciting part down in verse 20. But before we go into verse 20, I want you to think about, you know, maybe some time in your life or some moment in your life or some action in your life that you maybe look at now and you're wondering, was that sinful and against God? Or maybe you know that it was, or know that it is. I just want you to think about it for a minute. I know that's terrible, right? Because we're supposed to feel good, and that's not going to make us feel good. I said, but it will. It will. So just think about it for a moment. And then I wonder, if when you think of that time, or that moment, or that action, I wonder if the primary concern when you had that experience was what you wanted. Because brothers and sisters, more often than not, the core of our sin is selfish desire. I want. I deserve. It's mine. I worked for it. It seems to be about us very often, doesn't it? Paul understands this and knows this. Verse 20, he says, when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Yeah, you're free because you don't care. It just doesn't matter. Righteousness means nothing to you. You were free in regard to righteousness. It just was not anything you cared about. So what advantage did you then get from the things of which you now are ashamed? I suspect none. I suspect that because I know that to be true in my own life. The end of those things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification. Our advantage is sanctification. See, what Paul's really talking about is the grace of God, which is now available to us, a free gift offered through the very body and blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? And now we have this sanctification as our advantage. So when something is sanctified, it is set apart and made holy. Now, you didn't say you were sanctified. It says what your advantage is sanctification. So what we're hearing from Paul is our advantage, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, is we are now able to be given his grace, it's offered, and we have now entered a process of becoming set apart and made holy. It's a process, which means like any other process in life, maybe you've had this experience, you make 3 steps forward and 1 step back. Or maybe you make 1 step forward and 3 steps back, depending on how things are going. But we're in a process. That's our advantage. But Paul is saying to us, yes, you have the grace of God through Jesus Christ. Yes, you have this advantage of sanctification. However, does that mean we should go sin because we are not under the law but under grace? And he says, by no means. It's like you have to be careful in your choices still. See, because if you go entering into things that are not of God, fully knowing they're not of God, with the idea that God's grace will prevail in the end and he will forgive you afterward, you are not being obedient to God. You are being obedient to sin. And Paul's saying, don't do that. Don't test it out. We struggle. Paul struggled. He writes about what he knows. We have a choice as to who we will be obedient to or to what. The grace of God is there to catch us when we stumble. It is not there as a reassurance that we can do whatever we want and then just bring it to God and be forgiven. If you're moving in that way, stop. Because that is not a process of sanctification. That's bargaining. Lord, if you get me out of this, I'll never do it again. Until the next time. That's not the relationship that we've been offered. The grace of God says, with my very body and blood, incarnate God has covered you. And all that you have done and all that you might do. And now you are invited, free of sin, to enter into a process of sanctification, struggling every day, maybe every moment, to choose to be obedient to God. And your faith in the truth that Jesus is Lord, and in this now invited relationship that you have with him, you will be with him. You are with him, and you will be with him, and always remain in his presence. Your faith in that truth and that promise is what will bring justification. But the sanctification is a job. The reward is your transformation. Paul uses sanctification. Here we like the word transformation. It's the same. So we have to ask ourselves from time to time, who do we follow? If you find yourself tempted to do things that are not of God, just take a second and ask yourself, who is that about? And I suspect, more often than not, the first person it will be about is you. I know this is a true thing. and at the risk of offending people that are a part of a program that I'm very familiar with that helps people using 12 steps to leave behind sinful behaviors of their life, when someone is chasing after the behaviors that led them to their sin, those around them, their brothers and sisters, will immediately turn to them and say, "Why don't you do some service work?" Why would they do that? So a person will quit thinking about themselves and their own desires, which are likely to lead them to sin. Go mop the floor. Go clean the toilets. Go do something that is going to benefit someone other than you, and do it at such a level that you have to sacrifice and be obedient to the task. And when you do that and you come out on the other side, you go, "Oh yeah, that makes sense to me now. I'm not thinking about me, I'm thinking about others. And when I think about others, my sinful desires and selfishness goes away. And I can be productive." But it requires obedience. What does that mean? There will be times when it needs to be done and you just won't want to do it. That's okay. Do it anyway. Do it anyway. If you're scheduled to serve in a ministry and you get up that day and you go, "I just don't really want to do this today." I have to be honest, it has been 2 days since I felt that way. I'm on a roll. Do it anyway. Because it's the obedience to what God's called you to do in your life is where your growth is going to come. If you only do it because you want to do it, you'll do anything that you just want to do. You won't make a single sacrifice, and you won't understand the concept of obedience, and you will miss the most glorious experience of what it means to be walking with God. See, because brothers and sisters, when you choose to be obedient to the one who was obedient to death on the cross for your benefit, when you are willing to be obedient to that God who came into this world to grab a hold of you with his grace and catch you from falling into sin and death, when you are obedient to that God, brothers and sisters, you will rise with him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.